From time to time, I like to use a passage from the book of Jude as our benediction. It's a wonderful passage. And every time I use it, I really want it to bless you to the fullest. And for that reason, I want to talk about it today. First, let me read it. It's really a doxology. You know what a doxology is? It's a song of praise. Let me read it. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. What a great passage. And it starts with five very dynamic words. To him who is able. To him who is able. That word able is part of why this passage is so wonderful and so powerful. For instance, your garden needs to be watered. You are able to take the hose out there and water it. You're able to take a watering can out there and water it. But are you able to make it rain? No. But he is. He is able. Or maybe you enjoy an apple, and you are able to pick it off of a tree or pick it up at the grocery store and slice it and eat it and enjoy it. But are you able to plant the seed to grow the tree and pick the fruit that comes from it? He is able to do that. You are not. When you leave here each Sunday morning, each of you goes into your personal world, whatever your personal world is. And that world can be full of challenges, absolutely full of challenges. Sometimes your personal world is broken. Some of you have been there. Some of you are there now. Your personal world is broken. You can't fix it. But he can. He is able. This, however, is where the rubber meets the road. You have to exercise your God-given faith in him. And you have to turn all those problems of your personal world over to him. You probably have a friend that you can call on the phone and talk to about your problems. It feels really good to talk about your problems to a good friend who's a good listener and he'll empathize with you. But if your problem is beyond your ability to solve, it's probably beyond their ability to solve it too. So you need to go to the best of the best, to the one who is able to solve your problems. You need to call him. Oh, you've heard this cute thing before. I've shared it. God has a phone number. Do you remember that? His phone number is Jeremiah 33:3, where it says, call to me and I will answer. It goes on and says, I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. So there, put that in your contact list, okay? Speed dial. Back to Jude. He adds something very specific. He says, to him who is able to keep you from falling. Okay, I can't talk about that without saying that many of us here have become well acquainted with canes and walkers and rollators and balance issues. But of course, that's not what we're talking about, is it? Fallen in the sense of sinning. To him who is able to keep you from that thing called sin. That's another challenge of my personal world. I don't know about you, but sin enters life wherever we are. What kind of sinning? Well, there are other Bible translations of this passage in Jude. Let me read a different translation. It says this. to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. You know, that's when you commit an oopsie. You didn't mean to step on somebody's toe, maybe, but you did. It's not one of the bad sins. It's one of the little sins. We won't get into the theology of that. We could talk about that for a long time. Just go with it, okay? It's very similar to the translations of the Lord's Prayer. Some of the translations say debts, and some say trespasses. Trespasses are oopsies. And debts are far more serious. Which is it? Which is the correct translation in the Bible? It's debts. It's not oopsies. It's not stumbling. It's debts. That's the correct translation. And the correct translation in Jude is not stumbling. It's falling in the sense of sinning. In fact, the original word in Jude for falling is a unique word that appears no other place in the entire Bible. And the word is apostasto. And it is the root word for the word apostasy. Now, in case you need to be reminded, apostasy means you've accepted Jesus Christ. You have accepted the truth of God's word. But then you decide later you're going to reject Jesus Christ and you're going to reject God's word. That's when you are apostate. That is apostasy. It's much stronger than stumbling. Much stronger. Listen to it this way. To him who is able to keep you without any sin. Wow. God has the ability to wash you totally clean. And he can hit the delete key on all those sins of yours and mine. The little ones and the big ones, if there are such things. Listen to Jude's complete description here. He says, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. That reminds me of last Sunday, the trees clapping their hands. Great joy, praise. He can present you with great praise. Have you ever seen a movie where a primitive African tribe would capture some guy and drag him into their village to present him to their tribal leader, and they'll force him down on his knees to bow to their tribal leader? That's not what Jude is describing. In fact, the words literally translated in Jude is not to bow, but to stand before God, like we've just been singing about. Standing before God. I don't get it. I mean, throughout the Bible, we're told to bow before God. And now we're told to stand before him. This is, as I said, a unique passage in the Bible, and it describes you and me standing before God without fault and without sin and with great joy. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I can't wait. You and I have fallen. We've fallen because of our sins. We know that. But God can stand you before him and make you completely free from all your sin. Are you grasping this? But he does that only because Jesus Christ paid the full debt for all of your sins. This reminds me of what David said in Psalm 139. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. It is. Praise God that he is not only able, he is willing to do all of this for us, but only if you open your arms and accept his son, Jesus Christ, and the truth of his word. And I'm not saying in your mind only, I'm saying in your heart. Let me repeat that. For those of you who are sleeping, wake up and listen. Not just in your mind, but in your heart. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you standing before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus was our Savior. And now this says that God is our Savior. He is. The Bible makes it very clear over and over. God is the one who saves us. Listen to this. Luke 1, 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Listen to this. 1 Timothy 4, 9. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Now here's one more. This is Titus 3, 4. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. That is so simple, but it's also so complex. All at the same time, that's another bit of knowledge that's too wonderful for us to grasp. Here's the obvious explanation, and it's summed up in one word. Trinity. Trinity. Everything flows from God. Everything flows from him. And he revealed himself to us in the form of a man that we call Jesus. But he also revealed himself in the form of a spirit, whom we call the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But he, God, is the only one who can forgive you your sins. It all flows from God the Father. Am I preaching to the choir here? I mean, you know, are you sitting there thinking, Harry, I knew all this before I came in here. Tell me something new. Well, for someone who doesn't know this truth, this is new. But for the seasoned saints in God's kingdom, I think my job is to remind us all of these things, and not just in our minds, but in our hearts. Did you hear that? Not just in our minds, but in our hearts. I cut my teeth in the Presbyterian church, and it was very mental. I then worked in a Baptist church. It was not very mental. It was very expressive. And I learned that we need to be both. We need to be both. Why? Because by the time you leave here today, and you pack up all your stuff, and you get in your car, and you go to lunch, or whatever else you're going to do for the rest of the day, you are entering your personal world, and your personal world is just filled with all kinds of challenges that can eat you alive. And without your even realizing it, you can easily become worldly. Even before the sun sets today, you can become worldly. You can step back and into the mire of your problems, whatever your problems are. You can step into the quicksand of your problems, whatever your problems are, and wallow in them. And they might consume you, and you will search for relief for them wherever you can find it. You will call that friend, and you will ask them to listen to you while you complain. You might even hire a counselor who will listen to you while you complain. And then you might have to go to a doctor who will listen to you while you complain. And then you will complain about the cost of your prescriptions. It just will never stop. Complaining, complaining, complaining. Don't misunderstand me. God provides all those ways of helping us and more. But don't miss the best of the best. Call to Him. Call to Him with your problems. He is able. He is willing. He is available. Everything else is just a band-aid. It helps, but it doesn't heal. To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be. And here it comes. This is the doxology that I was talking about. To the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages. And now, and forevermore, before all ages, now and forevermore. What a wonderful set of words. You've said them and you have sung them and you have prayed them, many of you all your lives, but have they made the trip from your brain to your heart? Have you internalized those words? When I was preparing this, I had a thought that I'm going to share with you. Bear with me while I share this. It was our first cruise to Alaska. I'll never forget it. We were surrounded by these rugged mountains that were thousands of feet high. And on the tops of all those mountains was snow. And as that snow melted, water started trickling down the sides of those mountains. Numerous waterfalls, countless waterfalls everywhere. And I remember thinking they're moving so slowly and quietly until the ship got very close to them. And then I could hear the sound of water moving. And I could see that they were really flowing rapidly down those mountains into the sea. It was awesome to see. And then we saw frozen rivers of ice, glaciers, massive glaciers. I mean, they were far bigger than this entire complex of Turf Valley. I mean, far bigger. And the ice was so thick that the blue spectrum of light could not escape those glaciers. So they glowed with an eerie blue color. The captain edged the ship sideways, closer and closer to those massive mountains of ice. And then he turned off the engines so that we could hear the glaciers. As they moved across the rocks of those mountains, very slowly, only about 12 inches a day, they groaned. They groaned as they were grinding that rock. And then suddenly there was a, like lightning, hitting something as things cracked and it echoed all over those mountains. And then everyone was hoping they would see this, and we did. Big sections of ice broke off of the end of the glacier and fell into the water with a thunderous sound, and waves started coming from it toward our ship. These waves would have swamped a small boat. People were taking pictures right and left and videos. They were so excited at what they were seeing. But none of those pictures and none of those videos could possibly capture the majesty and the beauty and the glory of all those sights and sounds. And all of that is nothing compared to the glory, the majesty, the power, and the authority of Almighty God. No matter how hard we may try, we cannot fathom all of His glory. Isaiah put it this way in chapter 6. He said, even the angels that were around His throne would veil their faces as they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are filled with His glory." I can't wait to see that and hear that and experience that. There's no way that you and I can give Him any more majesty and glory than He already has. There's just no way. It's all His. It's all His. All we can do is declare it and praise Him for it and humbly accept it, not just in our minds, but where it really counts, in our hearts. So I ask again, have these words of Jude made the trip from here to here? In using this passage from Jude as a benediction, my desire is for you to submit to Him, to submit your problems to Him, but even more importantly, to submit yourself to Him, the only one who is able, the only one who is able to take care of your problems and to take care of you. I guess we're the biggest problem of all. Your job is to accept it and to receive it and to give Him glory and honor. One more thing from Jude. He ended this with a doxology summed up in one word. Amen. Now, I don't know whether that's amen or amen. It's actually both. Both are fine. That word is found 30 times in the Old Testament. It's found 52 times in the New Testament. And the primary definition of that word is so be it, or let it be so. Punctuation. That was an exclamation point in case anybody missed it. When Kathy Bowe visits us on a Sunday morning, she heads up what I call our Amen Corner. Now, I have to give you a confession. I did not grow up in a church that did that. And I used to think that anybody who did that was being kind of rude and interruptive, especially to the preacher. Until I learned that what she was actually saying was, "Preach on, brother. Preach on. I accept and I believe exactly what you and the Word of God are saying. Amen. Amen." I've grown to kind of like it. In fact, I like it a lot. At least, if for nothing else, it lets me know that somebody is listening. Amen. But the word amen has other translations too, and they are all valid. Another translation is truly, or it is true, exclamation point. And when Jude closed this doxology and said amen, I think he wanted us to wake up and realize that we can completely trust God for everything that we need, just as He said. And you know what? There just are not many other things in life that you can say that about. But the responsibility is with me and with you. Well, God is truly able and truly willing to do whatever you need. Only you can make the move to praise Him and to submit yourself to Him. Please choose to commit or recommit. What are you going to do with that challenge? What are you going to do with that challenge? What are you going to do with that challenge? Commit or recommit. He will not force you to come to Him, but He will open His arms wide to receive you, and then your personal world will be filled with His love. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that someone here who may be discouraged or feeling weak or feeling attacked needed to hear again these wonderful words of promise and truth. You are our refuge and strength. And I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will take that truth from their minds and their ears into their spirit, and that they will live it and be changed. And Father, we are absolutely in awe of you. Praise your name. And hear us now as we sing to you in His name. Amen.